To my script, I was supposed to still be in the toilet and running here late, but I just thought maybe it's not cool, you know, but yeah. So tonight we're in week two of our three-week series called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And tonight we're going to deal with the theme, When God Seems Late. So just quickly, how many of you love waiting for the kettle to boil? Are you serious, Jen? Love waiting for the kettle to boil, okay? Your kettle's blue. Okay, it's cool. And who loves waiting at a traffic light? And I need to correct that, it's a robot in South Africa, isn't it? Hey? Who loves waiting at the traffic light? Nobody, great. Okay, how about at the bank? It's got to get better. Home Affairs? There we go. Okay, fantastic. We've got somebody to laugh. But isn't it true in our era that we really want anything and everything to be instant? If the web page doesn't open in 2 seconds flat and it doesn't buffer that 10-minute video within 1 minute, the internet isn't slow, it isn't working. Hey? Isn't that true? How about you take friends out to dinner and you order your drinks with your starters? And about 45 minutes later, you notice that you're completely dehydrated and you're starving. Who loves that? Great. Nobody. So nobody likes waiting. So tonight we're going to read about somebody who waited and waited and waited. And she thought that she was quite close with this person, and so there was no reason for her to wait. And she even expected this person to drop everything and run straight to her. But she waited and waited and waited. So let's read all about it. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. And please keep those Bibles open because I'm going to refer back to the text quite often. And we're only going to read the first 6 verses, but later on I'm going to kind of refer to the rest of the chapter. So I'd like you just to keep it open. So John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And we're just going to read that forward. Keep those Bibles open, or that Bible app open, and we'll go through the chapter. Now Mary and Martha both thought that they had a very close relationship with Jesus. They had supper with him. They walked kilometers with him. They even witnessed many miracles right in front of their very eyes. So when their brother, who was also a close friend of Jesus, was sick, they even used very persuasive words to try and get Jesus to come and heal their sick brother. They said with messengers, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now just imagine somebody in your household sends word to you that you please need to come and heal your closest friend or the one you love. You would tend to jump up and go. Please come and, Mary and Martha asks Jesus, please to come and do one of those fantastic miracles they have witnessed right before their very eyes for mere strangers. But Jesus doesn't. They ask Jesus to come and help them in the time of their lives when they needed him the most. But from our text in verse 6 we just read that Jesus didn't drop it all, pack up his bags and rushed over there. No, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Now just imagine being Mary or Martha. You're close to Jesus. You've been a committed follower of Christ. You've seen him heal absolute strangers. And when you need him to come and help you immediately, when you need him to answer your prayer request immediately, when you need him to provide that new job or that car or means of transport or even that spouse, when you need him now, Jesus responds, "No, not now." And then he sends the messengers back to you, and he turns to his disciples. And then, in effect, he uses these words, that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And if you think I'm talking hogwash, he says, this sickness will not end in death. So the sickness is worse. It's bad. But it's going to get worse. He's going to die. But it will not end there. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus knew then, and he knows now, that when we find ourselves in a similar situation, where it just doesn't make sense that we're in this crisis, it just doesn't make sense that God isn't right here, right now, helping us, it just doesn't make sense that this is going to be used for God's glory. All we need to know, all we need to believe, is that Jesus is doing something in the background, and that it will bring glory to God. So when you find yourself in that most difficult time in your life, know this: God is completely aware of the sickness. He's completely aware of it, even to the end degree. But he is completely involved in your immediate needs. For Mary and Martha, they expected Jesus to just drop everything because they were close to him, and come and heal their brother. Because if he didn't, they knew it would end in death for them. They had a completely legitimate request, and even thought, because of their close relationship with Jesus, that he would indeed answer their request immediately. And if you're taking notes, maybe this is something worth writing down. God's delays don't necessarily mean God's denials. God's delays don't necessarily mean God's denials. In this godly delay, it must have been so difficult for Mary and Martha to understand, why on earth would Jesus deny my immediate request? And they even uttered these words in verse 20, if you're reading along. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet with him. But Mary stayed at home. In verse 21, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then later on, verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." For both Mary and Martha, God seemed late. If you had been here, God, this would not have happened. If you had answered my prayer, this would not have happened. And this is where we must remember these words of Jesus to his disciples. This sickness will not end in death. And I'm sure you would agree with me that when you're in the same boat as Mary and Martha were that day, when you find yourself in the most difficult time in your life, you would find those words unhelpful. Jesus knew that then. And that's why he only shared that with his disciples, to prepare them for what was to come, and also remind them that he is always working in the background and will work all things for the good for those who love him. And so if you find yourself in the same boat, in the same difficult space in your life as Mary and Martha, know that God is completely aware of what you're going through personally, and he responds to us in that way as well. Notice how he responds to Mary and Martha in a very personal way. Martha wanted, She needed to know why Jesus wasn't there. And now, what is he going to do about the fact that the sickness for her has ended in death? The worst thing that she could think of happened. And she wanted to know, she wanted to hear from Jesus. Why did this happen? To that extent that she even hoped that the moment she met with Jesus to talk to him, she even hoped that he would still miraculously raise Lazarus from the dead. And then we read this in verse 25 and 24. But even now, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Martha, Jan, Jeff, do you believe this? When you're in the most difficult space in your life, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? I really hope that will be our response tonight when we find ourselves in the most difficult space. May we respond like Martha. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. I believe you are the Son of God. And then if you are wired like Martha, you'll probably pick yourself up and run to the Marys in this world and tell them, Jesus is here. The resurrection and the life is here with us right now. So if you're wired like Martha, you just need that gentle reminder that Jesus is the Son of God and is powerfully working in your life, even in that crisis. But maybe you're not like Martha. Maybe you're like Mary. And that's completely okay. Because Mary withdraws from her crisis. And Jesus responds to her in a way that she completely understands and relates to. Jesus weeps with her. He weeps with her. He doesn't tell her that I'm the resurrection and the life. He weeps with her. For Mary, she needed to feel the presence of God in her crisis. For Martha, she needed to hear the presence of God in her crisis. So if you relate with Mary, in your crisis, may you feel Jesus weeping with you. And just like he did with Mary, he'll get straight down to business and ask you, where have you laid him? What's wrong? How can I help? How can I roll the stone away for you? I really hope that regardless of how you deal with the most difficult time in your life, whether you want to feel the presence of God in that crisis or whether you want to hear the presence of God in that crisis, may we all respond to the same question the same way. Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that I am able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us? And may we come to know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called to his purpose. See, when we hold on to those two things, we can then trust in the promises of God, as we find in John 11, verse 40. We will see the glory of God in our crisis. We will see the resurrection power of God in our lives, just like Martha and Mary did. When the most difficult thing they thought could ever happen to them, God turned that into a God-glorifying moment. May the same thing happen to us in the most difficult time of our lives. And may we respond in the same way. Go, yes, Lord, even though this crisis is overwhelming, even though it seems like you're late and you're inattentive like we heard last week, may we still hear tonight that God is completely aware of your crisis, of your sickness. He is completely involved in working for good. Good. for those who love him, and that he would ensure that his name is glorified. Your crisis will not be the end. God's glory will. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there's hope for us in your word. That when life gets really tough and we find ourselves in the biggest storms ever, where in our human eyes and our human minds this will end in death, we thank you so much that we heard tonight from your word that our crisis will not end in death and that your glory will be the end of it all. Help us, Lord, this week to hold on to those promises that you are working in all areas of our lives, in all facets of our lives, in all stages. Regardless of what we're going through, you are working that moment to the good for your glory, especially for those who love you. So help us tonight and this week to grasp onto those promises. And when those storms come, that we are reminded that you are there with us. Whether we need that reminder audibly with your words or just feeling your presence. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.